One of the things that I know I'm guilty of doing as I get into this message, I'm guilty of sometimes thinking I can do it alone. I can get by without the word of the Lord in me. That's just my flesh nature. I mean, it's wicked. It's going to burn one of these days, and get good riddance to it. And one of the things that God has always been faithful to me in is that he has always anchored my soul in his word. I never thought in 1997, when God laid it on my heart to begin a study of Bible prophecy, just as a subject to talk about or to teach on, I never thought, I never dreamed, I never forecasted this is what we'll do with it, and we'll do this after that. Everything that has happened in this church since that time has been, I believe, by the direct will of God. He has done it. And especially if you really, really knew me, you would understand that I'm telling you, I am here by nothing but the grace of God. And God, we were talking about this word revival a little while ago, me and Cubby and the barbershop boys back on the back row there. We were talking about that word revival, and it just basically means being brought back to life. And that is exactly what God did with me that one day in my office, and I was meditating on God's word, and God spoke to my heart and said, "Mike, you know that Bible's right. It has no errors, no mistakes in it." And I surrendered to that immediately. And then with a lot of joy, I began to just be a student of the Bible. I said, I want to know as much as I can. And I read and read and read and read. Now, I'm not the person who reads 3 or 4 chapters a day, and by the end of the year, you've read the whole Bible. That's not me. Now, some people are like that. That's fine. I'm not knocking it, but it's just not me. If you ask me if I read the whole Bible, I'll say, I'm pretty sure I have. Just not all at once, all right? But God did me a favor that I did not deserve when he spoke his word to me, and the scales fell off of my eyes, and I started believing that this Bible was right in everything that it says. And I'm here to declare to you today, if you don't already know this about me, I'm telling you that the Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible, is no mistakes in it whatsoever. It is not wrong. It never was wrong, and it never will be wrong. Amen. Now, some people, I didn't know this was going on, and some people started bringing it to my attention. And it's the issue of this revival at Asbury University. And I thought, well, okay, it's a big deal. But when I got to looking into it, and I saw some things, and I'm going to bring those to you this morning. And we are going to go to Psalm 119. If you want to go ahead and flip over there and put a bookmark in there, because we're going there. Because I'm telling you, after about an hour of digging into this, listen, I'm just like anybody else. I'll never forget one day the Jehovah's Witness. I was pastoring out of Richwoods, and Jehovah's Witness came by my house one day, and it was a man and a woman, and I knew what they were doing. I was watching them. And so I was arguing back and forth with them about Christ, deity, and about hell and things like that. And they said, "Can we give you some literature?" Now, my mindset was, I'm going to take it because that's just one piece of literature you won't be able to give somebody else. And I sat down and read it that Saturday afternoon. Now, I'm studying for my sermons for the next day. And I read through this little booklet that they gave me, that, and they basically said that the Bible never said that God is a Trinity, or the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and He's three in one. And that none of the church fathers believed that, and none of the apostles believed that, and so on. And I had to stop. And I had to lay that aside, and I had to get the Bible out and read it. And I said, "God, that was scary. What was that?" That's a seducing spirit teaching doctrines of devils. And, I mean, it shook me. And so if they offer you literature or whatever, if you take it, throw it away. Don't read it. Okay? Because then I figured out when I went back to look at how they did it, they went back and they grabbed every liberal scholar since the Apostle Paul walked the earth, and they quoted them as saying that none of Christianity actually believed that Jesus was God incarnate. None of them actually believed that. And that's true. Among the liberal crowd, they deny 98% of the Bibles. Why have one anyway? And, well, we've got to have the decoration somehow, so we decorate it with the Bible. But anyway, I caught on to what they're doing. I said, boy, that was slick. Same thing happening this week. I'm watching some of this revival going on at this college. Now, I will tell you, when I first turned it on, they were singing "It Is Well With My Soul." That is one of my favorite songs. And it did. It sounded pretty. And then right after that, they went into some stupid song. It had four words in it. And they repeated it probably 8,000 times. And I said, well, that ruined that for me. But I started looking into it, and I'm going to share with you some things. But what I was saying a while ago was, after about an hour of looking into this, I had to stop. And I said, God, I need your word. Literally, I did that. And where do you want me to read? And God directed me to Psalm 119. And I always do this. I'm going, no, that's not it. God says, Mike, shut up, read it. And it only took probably the first 16 verses for me to get happy and to have a real revival in my soul. And I won't have the time this morning to get into what all constitutes revival and what is true revival, what is not. But I'm going to share with you some things that are very, very troubling to me. It's not anything, as far as I'm concerned, new under the sun. I've been preaching against this stuff for years. I've been seeing it rise up. And it literally is taking over the scope of American Christianity. And you and I both know that the churches of this country are almost good for nothing. And Jesus said, if they're good for nothing, they're to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And that's exactly how I feel about what's going on, or what has happened in Asbury, Kentucky. And we'll get into that. Let's read the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, what does the Spirit do? Speaketh. And how does the Spirit speaketh? Throughth the wordeth. Ameneth? The Spirit speaketh expressly. I'm going to press this into you. You need to know this. That in the latter times, we're there. Some shall depart from the faith. It's not multiple faiths. It's not we're people of faith. It is the faith. There is one way to salvation, one way to heaven. That is through the blood of Jesus Christ and being cleansed by the Holy Ghost through the Word of God, the water of the Word of God. Giving heed to seducing spirits. When I think of the word seducing, I think of a harlot. And that's what Mystery Babylon is. She not only is a harlot, she's the mother of harlots. And so the spirit that she has, the spirit that she uses is a seducing spirit. It is designed to motivate or in some ways elevate emotional experiences and place that over and above the written word of God. And what I've seen all this week, testimony after testimony after testimony, oh, it felt so real. Oh, I walked in, I just immediately felt joy and I felt love, and that was the Holy Spirit. I just know it was. And I don't have time to get into it either this morning, but I can tell you ghost stories of spirits causing people to feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Elated? That wasn't it. Euphoric. I knew it was the E word. A euphoria. It's like getting a good buzz from a bottle of Jack. or getting high from marijuana, or getting whatever, cocaine or whatever it is. What you get high on, you feel that euphoria, and you say, boy, this feels good. But I'm here to tell you, I have emotions. I'm very emotional today. But I do not measure my relationship with God based upon my feelings and my emotions. If I did that, I wouldn't be here today. I would not be here today. I base them on what God says to me in the written Word of God. And when I say Word of God, I mean written Word of God. Right? It's wrote down in the Bible, preserved, translated for us in these days. And this Bible is more relevant today than it was yesterday, than it was 100 years ago, 400 years ago. If you will watch this world through the eyes of this book, you'll see things. So, they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Devils teach doctrine, but it's always false doctrine. But it's very subtle. It's not the same Jesus, it's another Jesus. It's not the same gospel, it's another gospel. It's not the same spirit, it's another spirit. And I believe with all my heart that the spirit, the overall spirit, and I'm guarding my language because what I can't say is that out of the hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of people that funneled through that auditorium the last 8, 9, 10 days, however long that thing went on, I cannot tell you that every one of them is apostate. That would be wrong for me. It is not. I saw a guy's testimony, and I know a guy that did this. He said his testimony was, I got saved in a cult, but God used that to draw me out of it and then set my feet on the right path. And I know a guy that did that. Okay, he's still serving the Lord today. But it was through a cult that he got saved, gave his life to the Lord, and you should have known him before that. Then after that, his life is different. And eventually God called him out of that and brought him to knowing what's right. So the devils have doctrines. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. So they will say, we repented, but they didn't really repent. They say, God changed me, but they didn't really change. And that's hypocrisy. They will speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That means that they will do evil and have no ill feelings about it whatsoever because their conscience has been seared. Our conscience is our best friend that tells us, you did something wrong, Mike. You need to cut that out, Mike. I was there when you did it. I was there when you saw it. I was there when you heard it. I was there when you did it. I'm your conscience, and I'm telling you, Mike, you need to repent. You need to get away from that stuff. That's what my conscience does. But their conscience seared with a hot iron. That I link to the iron kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. And then in verse 13, now this is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. This is not a two-week-long revival service that Timothy had. He's receiving instructions from the Apostle Paul. And he said, till I come, give attendance to what? Reading. Reading what? Harry Potter? Lord of the Rings? The Secret? Joel Osteen's Your Best Life Now? Or was it Your Best Wife Now? No! Reading the Word of God. He said, Timothy, that's your job. The first item on the list is read your Bible, Timothy. Out of all the people in that church that need to know the Word of God, you're the guy. You're the guy because those people are going to follow you for good or for evil, but they're going to follow you. And if you don't get in that word and lead them right, I'm going to hold you accountable for leading them astray. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That is a dirty word nowadays. Oh, it's not doctrine. It's experience. You watch that. Most churches now have gone over to experiential worship, where they feel things, they're brought into a mood by the music, by the lights, by the swaying of the people. It's all very rhythmic. They're brought into an emotional high as part of the service, and their emotions are lying to them in saying that this is a true thing from God, when There is no way, for the most part, that it can be, because it lacks something. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. It was the preaching of God's word that brought me to this altar to surrender to God's call of my life at 16 years of age. Brother Goff preached, "Must Jesus Bear His Cross Alone?" I'll never forget it. But it was the prophesying of the word of God that brought me to the altar. Pastor Goff said, "Mike, what are we framed out to?" I said, "I think God's called me to preach." And the rest is history. Given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery, that's the elders, the leaders of the church, meditate upon these things. That means think about them. That does not mean binge watch Netflix. Amen? Listen, I'm going to climb all over me before I climb on you. Okay? I'm in this with you. And I need this just as bad as anybody else does. But he said, meditate upon these things. These things, what things? The Bible, the Word of God, Bible verses, stories in the Bible, whole chapters in the Bible. Think upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. To what? To the Word of God. That thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. There it is again. Doctrine, 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 doctrine. If your doctrine's not right and you don't believe that Jesus is the living flesh Son of God, you're not right with God. And I'm here to tell you, you're not saved either. You cannot call God and God's word a liar and be saved going to heaven. It's not possible. That thy property may appear to all, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Two people are going to get blessings out of this. I personally, listen, I don't want to be wasting all my time down on this earth and you get to go to heaven and I don't. I am in it for me. I want to go to heaven when I die. Amen? But I want you to go with me. Well, don't put that Bible down. Don't give the Philistines your weapons. Don't do it. Father, help me preach this. And Lord, I'll cut it off where you want me to cut it off. But Lord, again, if I say something today that is not right, then correct me. Give me the grace to correct myself publicly. Lord, I don't want to lay false condemnation upon anybody. People do that to me all the time. I don't like it, and I don't want to do it to anybody else. There is no doubt, Father, in my mind, that somebody visited with you these last 2 weeks at that Bible college. Lord, I don't know who they are. You do. You're the judge. You take care of that. But Lord, we know that there can be no revival without the Word of God making it happen. So Father, we all say we believe the Word. We all say we believe the same Bible. But Father, it is so easy in this world that we live in to set it aside for all the other things that try to grasp our attention. And God, in that, we desire you to change us so that our hungering and our thirsting is after righteousness and the Word of God instead of hungering and thirsting after the things of this world. So Father, before we attempt to pull the splinter out of our neighbor's eye, Father, remove the beam that is in ours. Please, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of not believing what you said or neglecting what you said. Help us, dear God, to be people of the Bible and known for that and nothing else. Bless this message. Bless these people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the whole deal this week is what happened was this Asbury Seminary is a Methodist Wesleyan university. It was Asbury College, now it's a university, but it is a seminary primarily for Methodist ministers. Now, when I was, I went to two Bible colleges, Free Will Baptist Bible colleges, one in Nashville, one in Oklahoma, okay? And the only people taking the seminary courses that I was taking were men, not women, because there was not going to be any ordained female pastors in the Free Will Baptist denomination. They got that right. They got that right. No, did you hear Rick Warren got kicked out of Southern Baptist? He retired his position as pastor of the Saddleback. He's got three campuses there. So what he did was he ordained three women and put them, each one, at one of those churches. And the Southern Baptist said, you can't do that. I mean, we still don't believe that women could be pastors. They kicked him out. They should have got rid of him a long time before he did too much damage. Amen. I mean, no, I won't say that. But when I started looking into this, let me get back. It started in a chapel service, and I watched a part of, I don't know how much, of the little sermonette that the guy gave, and he's one of these tattoo Christians. I mean, he's got his sleeves, tattoos. Now, I don't know why God said this, but God said, don't print marks on your skin with ink. God said that. And if God said it, why are we doing it? Why are so many, quote-unquote, church members, Christians, going out and get tatted up for Jesus? You cannot bring praise to Christ and disobey what he said at the same time. Can't do it. So anyway, apparently what happened was, at the end, one of the students came down and prayed, and had a meeting, I guess, with God or whatever, and he got up and he wanted to give his testimony that God had freed him from some sins. I don't know what all they were, but he freed him. And so then, I guess people were moved, these college students were moved by his candor that he was admitting these things, and all of a sudden now more people are coming down to pray, and it doesn't stop. It just keeps going, and it went on through the day, and you know, none of the faculty was going to break it up. You know, this, you know, whatever. And then it went into a second day and a third day. And now it's starting to make waves around the area. Now it's making waves around the Midwest. Now it's making waves around the country. And then it's reaching out into the world. And I was absolutely gobsmacked at the number this thing taking place, where everybody that's on the net, primarily, for the most part, is calling this a true revival of God. Oh, we've been waiting to see this for so many years. Oh, bless God, this happened. And the number of ministries, profiting ministries, and I mean money machine ministries, and let me tell you something, there is big money in revivals. Revival is a big business. And if you think that money does not create what modern Christianity has become in this country, you don't know. You don't know what God said. The love of money is the root of all evil. And I guarantee, and see what I saw, started seeing happen was, this is Pat Robertson's son, who's taken over for him. He's calling this a real revival. Todd Bentley was there. He's one of these New Apostolic Reformation reprobates. He went there. They kind of tolerated him for a while, then they put him out. Other ministries wanted to go there and be a part. That what they wanted was, they wanted to be seen as being going along with this. And when the college wouldn't let them come, the college finally said, we're going to clamp this down, and only people 25 and under can go in here, because this is for our young people. But anyway, I was amazed at the number of ministries all over this country that are wanting to be associated with this thing, with this revival. Because it makes them look good, it makes them appear like they're the good guys, and it is money and monetarily driven. It's about money. CBN reported on it, the Asbury Revivals. This guy here, I was sent this video. This guy was a Assembly of God pastor, and he converted over to Anglican, Church of England, Episcopalian. So he's got the little doodad collar. And he said that he went in over there And he said, I guarantee you it was real. It was a real move of God. And he knows because, and I feel sorry for the guy. He said, I've had 80 surgeries. He had a lung transplant. And he said that he died on the table and got to go to heaven. And he met the guy that donated the lungs to him in heaven. And then God let him come back. People, do not fall for that. Do not fall for that. Number one, you have no idea if this guy actually saw what he said he saw. You can't trust it. It's not biblical. Nothing about it. But he goes in gushing about it because he said, I know revival and I know the Spirit. And boy, listen, if you're an Anglican minister and you put up with the things that are going on in the Church of England and their doctrine, there's something not right with you. You don't know the Bible. So a man who died went to heaven, attends Ashbury Revival, and declares, he says, what I experienced in heaven, I experienced in that revival. And what was it that he saw? What was it that he heard? Did he see a man of God with a King James Bible as big as that door over there, preaching out of it, giving people that, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the word of the Lord. Was that what he experienced there? No. He experienced crying and waving and singing, but no word. But then he wants to tell me that he knows that this is real because he went to heaven and that was the same Spirit. So, back to CBN. One of the videos they put out, Heaven Invades Ashbury, again, echoes of the 1970 Jesus Revolution are already resounding. Now, this is not the first time this has happened at this particular college. In 1970, they had an almost identical revival. And, of course, they didn't have social media back in 1970. And what it did was it fit in to what was already going on in this country with who remembers the Jesus freaks? They're basically hippies that said they believed in Jesus. And most of these sayings were just so far afield from being the truth that it was just, it's absolutely crazy. But what happened was, in 1963, the Vatican said, they issued the Second Vatican Council and said, we're going to bring all the churches back together again under Rome. Just a few years later, at Catholic seminaries, the so-called Holy Ghost is poured out to these young seminary priests in training, and all of a sudden they begin speaking in tongues, and they begin to show the evidence that they say is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, where they prophesy and speak in tongues, and they fall down, they're slain in the Spirit, all these things that God never said anything about, happening to Catholic priests who bow before images of Mary. Don't tell me that's God. Don't tell me that's the Holy Spirit, because it's not. So that renewal took place. Catholics don't call anything revival. It's renewal. They had this renewal experience where this charismatic thing was going through these Catholic seminaries all over the country. And then it spilled out, and you had denominations being formed out of this. Calvary Chapel. I can't remember all of them. But anyway, all there were denominations did not exist before 1970 that sprung up as a result of this. And what it was, a similar thing happened. It was a revival based upon feelings and emotions and experiences, but lacking in the Word of God. Now, I will say, what I'm going to show you now is not, to my knowledge, school policy. Because this issue came up, the school issued a statement saying that their guidelines at their university is that they do not tolerate any form of extramarital relationships. And that includes male-female relationships. That includes homosexual relationships. And he said, their statement was, any student that is caught in this will be dismissed. However, on a campus that size, I went to Hillsdale College for 2.5 years, and I can probably name at least 5 people that I know now are sodomites and were then. I didn't know it then. And that school, we probably had 100 students there. And there were sodomites going to that college. Now we're talking about things related to United Methodist. They're not known for their conservative policies. They ordain women, and contrary to the word of God, they ordain women. This is God going to bless that? Only if he can change it. But he's not going to bless it and leave it the way it is. So, this is information that came to me from several different sources. There's a video of this young lady. She's telling, you know, she's, I guess, prophesying. God's telling her all this stuff, and she's feeding it into the microphone. And there's a guy in the background there. He's circled. And somebody just said, you know, he looks. Well, he found out who he was, and that's his picture from his Facebook post. And he found out he was right. He goes by the name of Elijah. I'm not going to say much about him. He refers to himself on his Facebook page as a Michigander, Free Methodist, Holy Leftist, a seminarian, celibate, but he's a homosexual. He's calling himself a celibate homosexual. I do not believe that. Not for one second do I believe that. Once, as Paul said in Romans 1, once you burn in your lust for something, you don't stop doing it unless God intervenes. So, he's at this revival, and I can tell that he's known by some of the faculty members, because I saw at least one faculty member go by, touch him on the shoulder and patted him and so on. And he's trying to be, you know, he's just trying to feel it, take it all in. And so here's what he said during this. He said, day 8, and my seminary friends are still leading worship. And he said, did you know people of color, women, and queer students have been leading worship all 8 days? Now, I don't know that he absolutely knows that to be 100% true. Or is he just feeding out a narrative that he wants everybody to believe? Both student bodies have lended themselves into, he says, being, but leading us towards the throne of God. It is not possible that a movement that is inclusive of sins that God says is an abomination can ever lead anybody to the throne of God. It's not possible. And then he said, I guess it took until the Asbury outpouring for some people to realize that gay people are in their churches, their pews, their choirs, their worship teams, their prayer groups, their youth groups, their seminaries, and all that. He's not wrong about that. That much I know from 2 Kings 23:7. This was going on in the days of Josiah. He was the boy king of Israel over Judah. I think Manasseh his father. And I mean, it was crazy, full of devils and everything else. But right next to the temple of God was a house full of sodomites. You know what I think God is showing us there? He's telling us they're closer than you think they are. And they're involved. And they're not going away anytime soon. Their goal is to turn every church into gay-affirming, sodomite-confirming, transgender, queer, pedophile, and everything else that God hates. He break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. That's God telling you they were too close. Had God not raised up Josiah to break down their houses and run them out? Well, I can tell you probably the reason why they were there was because they were drawing people in. Now, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to move on. Now, flash around the net to other big money ministries that are all latching on to this revival and saying, oh, this is a move of God. Oh, this is a great work of God, as this was prophesied. Up on the stage here. Now, this stage that you see is at Brownsville Assembly of God Church in Pensacola, Florida. It is where the Pensacola outpouring took place. You will never see a bizarre scene of devil possession of people in a church than you will at the Brownsville Assembly of God. While John Kilpatrick, that's the man on the left, he was their pastor, and it was one of those things similar to Asbury. They just had a service, and it kept going and kept going, and all of a sudden people are being slain in the spirit, and all of a sudden people are having convulsions, and people are they are literally so drunk in the spirit they can't talk straight. One pastor's wife was up on the stage. This was back in the 90s. She's giving her testimony, and she's like, "I'm a pastor's wife." And I go, "Honey, where are we from?" She was so drunk with a seducing spirit, she couldn't even remember where she lived. And so here's John Kilpatrick telling these guys that what happened at Asbury is just like what God did at Brownsville Assembly of God. If that's the case, I know for a fact it's not of God. Up on the stage here, you see the guy in the middle? Right here? You know who that is? It's the pillow guy. He's not on a stage with a bunch of Bible preachers. I'm telling you that. He's on stage with a group of prophets. And I've watched several episodes of this, and these guys all jump up, and they're all talking about how God prophesied this, and how God through them prophesied that, and they saw this coming 2 years ago, and they gave a prophecy, they had a vision of this happening, and they announced it, and sure enough, here it is happening. That proves that we're prophets of God. No, it doesn't. All they have to do is be wrong once. Okay? And all these guys are getting up, and they're talking about all the prophecies that they predicted would happen, and they're all happening now. But nobody is quoting anything from the Bible. Even here, they're not quoting the Bible. And I don't have time to get into this either. I know so much more about this. They believe in an eschatology belief that used to be called postmillennialism. And it's now called Kingdom Now. These men all believe that they will bring the kingdom of God to this world. They will conquer the entire world for Jesus so that when he returns, they can hand him the keys to the world and say, "Now you can rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's what they believe. And they're wrong. It's not going to happen that way. But there is a lot. This is a multi-billion dollar a year industry of promoting Americanism with these prophets and modern Christianity and their goal. You think, boy, they're really, I mean, they voted for Trump and they want Second Amendment rights and, boy, these guys are really good. What you don't know is that they believe a very dangerous doctrine. What they want is to take over the country. And they've admitted it. Shut down any more elections. Once we get Trump back in office, we're going to cut out all the elections. They're dangerous. This guy here, well, I already showed you that. You know what this guy's doing? Anybody want to take a guess? Huh? Apparently he's prophesying. Apparently when you hear something from God, it makes you go. This guy went on for 10 minutes about things that God was telling him right then that was going to happen from this day forward. And it's all, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win. This is a new anointing and it's going to be a breakthrough year. This year it's going to happen. And then next year when it doesn't happen, they'll say, this is the breakthrough year. And they keep saying the same lies year after year. So, here is Dutch Sheets. He allegedly had a vision that he claims that he had in 2001 of this very event. And he said that God told him, God said, "I am coming to save this generation and nothing is going to stop me." He said God said that, but God didn't say that. Twice in his vision, he said that this move would save people without preaching. That's not possible. God chose the foolishness of the world, the foolishness of preaching to save men's souls, not esoteric, ecstatic ecstasy revivals full of feeling and emotions. We can generate an emotional response in every service that we do. And this is something it's just me. I don't know if I'm doing right or wrong, but it's the reason why I quit having an altar service every time I said something. Because then I gauged what God was doing based on how many came down the altar. That's not it. That's not it. But this is what's being said now. This is what's being floated around. Now, I won't get into the Jesus movement. Look at Acts 16. I think this water is a week old, but as long as Lindsay didn't spit in it, I'm fine. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to try to make sense out of it. In Acts chapter 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, a young maiden, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us. Now, I never really paid much attention to this part of the verse, but I had to go back and look at it again as I was going over it yesterday, because I'm going, I thought she was just guided by the spirit. No, she was possessed by it. She had a devil spirit in her of divination. And she had a gift to be able to predict things that were going to happen in advance. Now, what's the difference between this damsel and old squint eyes here? What's the difference? There is no difference if what he says does not come from the Word of God, the Bible. And brought her masters what? Much gain. What is behind this? Money. Money, 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 money. The same, she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, is there anything wrong in what she said? Not that I can see. Paul is a servant of the Most High God. He was there to show everybody the way of salvation. It wasn't what she was saying, it was where she was getting it from and how she was doing it. She attached herself to Paul's troop and wouldn't shut up. She was there to hijack everything that Paul would have done in that city by attaching herself and the spirit that was in her to what Paul was trying to do. And the goal of whatever devil was in her was to wreck Paul's preaching. And Paul apparently knew it. This did she many days. Now, how much of that can you put up with? After I've had an hour of the grandkids, I'm done. She did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Now they want Paul dead. Why? She's no good anymore. She can't predict the future. She's not going to bring these guys any money. They're going to toss her to the scrap heap, and they're going to try to kill Paul for ruining their wealth. And I absolutely believe that Asbury, Pensacola, the Toronto Blessing, Rodney Howard Brown's laughing revival, and every one of these fake, phony, experiential services and quote-unquote revivals are not of God. They are of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What? Now turn to... Okay, I know what I'm going to do now. I didn't want to print Psalm 119 on one PowerPoint page. Turn to Psalm 119. Again, I can't speak for every person that went through that place. I can't say they're all apostates. That would be wrong for me to judge everybody that was there. And again, I kept watching video after video. There were Assembly of God preachers there. There were United Pentecostal preachers there. They were outside trying to bring disciples into themselves. There was one guy, a young guy, he was trying to give everybody the gift of the Holy Ghost, which he would slap them on the head, they'd fall backwards, and then they would start speaking in tongues. He had an agenda there. He said, this is going on, there's a lot of people there, I'm going to go grab me some. Now, it'd only take you a few minutes before you realize Psalm 119 is there to show us in this day that God's word must mean everything to us or we have nothing. You will not get revival from me. You will not get revival if I call a bunch of preachers in here. You will not get revival without the word of God giving it to you. It doesn't happen. God, at times, I believe God has spoken to me several times. I mean, my goodness, he said to me, Mike, the King James is right. I believed it. But then I started reading it, and I'm going, yep, there it is. The Holy Spirit will never speak outside of the written word of God. Never. But that's what's being said. This is a revival without preaching. It's a revival without doctrine. It's where all the doctrinal walls are torn down. And all of us, see, there was Roman Catholics there. There was liberals there. There was the mainline denominations there. They were all there getting in on this. And it was joining everybody together and breaking down all the walls that separate us. We need our walls. God called us out. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. If you want to, as you're reading this, every time you see a word that refers to the Bible, underline it. Law of the Lord refers to the Bible. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. The word testimonies is a Bible word. And by the way, let me say this. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. For these 2 weeks that this revival is going on, all of these young people... And I remember what I was like when I was that age. I had a mind full of untested ideals, and I thought I was going to change the world with them. And then I grew up and realized it didn't work that way. So here are these young people, and they're giving their testimonies. It's testimony, testimony, testimony. But if they have left off God's testimonies, it's not revival. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. That's a reference to the Bible. His ways. Thou hast commanded us. That word commanded is related to the word of God. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. That's another one. Diligently. Precepts is the word of God. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statute. The Bible. Then, verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. That's the word of God. How much of God's commandments? You respect all of it. Amen. You respect God's word. You reverence God's word. Verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. That's the Bible. I will keep thy statutes. That's the Bible. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Verse 9. Wherewithal, listen to this, young people and old people. How did God change your life? Was it through experience? Was it through a pep rally at church and you just decided you were going to quit sinning? And see, that's where my heart is. You've got these young, impressionable minds, and they've already developed sinful habits by this time. To say that everybody on this campus is celibate is not being realistic. It's not. You get that many young females and males together, then they come to a place where they are told that if you will experience this and you will confess your sins, that God will deliver you from it completely. You'll never have to worry about it again. And they believe this and they go experience this and they say, yes, God has set me free. I'm not interested in what happens now. I want to know them a year from now. What are they doing? And how is that thing going with that sin problem in their life? A year from now. These people who claim that they're set free, were they really? So verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, I can tell you how God did it with me. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. As I began to grow in the Lord, God, through his word, began the process of purging me. He's not done. I can tell you that. He's not done. He won't be done until glory calls. But I can tell you that God, through his word, cleansed the way of this young man. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. That's a Bible word. Thy word, there it is, have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I don't remember who said it, but I like it. Sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. And that's what that says there. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes, the Bible. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. That's the Bible. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. That's the Bible. As much as all in all riches. What would you rather have, $1 million or your Bible? I will meditate, verse 15, in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, the Bible. I will not forget thy word, the Bible. And you keep reading. I'm going to keep going until God says, I'm not going to drag this. I'm not going to do all the whole chapter. Say amen. But if you have never read through Psalm 119, I'm telling you, you're going to get a joy in you knowing that what you believed is right. That God does not operate outside the bounds of his word. He never has, and he never will. You want to meet God on God's terms? Then you meet him through his word. When Paul said that verse, he said some will depart from the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what did they do first to depart from the faith? They departed from the word of God. And without the word of God being read, spoken, preached, taught, meditated on, there will be no revival. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Listen, I'm telling you, the secrets of the universe are inside this book. You have no idea the things that God has shown me this week in this book. I'm just like, I'm giddy almost at some things that God has taught me from this book. It used to scare my wife. Early on, I'd be sitting in the living room and all of a sudden God showed me something. And I'd go, she's like, what are you doing? I'm reading the Bible. Oh, that is so cool. She's like, oh my goodness. By the way, I married a wife that never moved away from the King James. Even when I did. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud. They are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. That's all them prophets on the stage. They have erred from God's word. They're there to draw disciples unto themselves by making you think that they can predict the future. Therefore, they must be the prophets of God. And the rule is you must listen to the prophets of God. That is what every cult does. Verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I felt, and here again, that's feelings, I don't know, that the reason why I woke up so messed up this morning was principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. I've had it happen before. Verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Listen, when you get to a point where you rather read your Bible than sit and watch the television all day or whatever it is, when you get to that point, you're on the trail. You're going to have revival. I promise you, it'll fix things in your marriage. It'll fix things in your family. It will save your family members. It will cause you to love people that you don't love. It'll cause you to forgive people that you don't want to forgive. It'll cause you not to hate people that you hate. This book will set the captives free. Say amen. Have I given you enough yet? I still got, let's see, 100. That's 160, 161 verses, 168 verses, 176 verses to go. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 26, I have declared my ways and thou hearest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Show us the lie. Talk of thy wondrous works. You don't need more commentaries and more YouTube preachers and more YouTube teachers. What you need is more Bible. You don't understand something in this Bible, you keep reading it. God will open up your eyes. God will show you things He'll never show me. What right does any preacher have to say that you'll only get the Word of God from me? None. And I used to believe that. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. How many liars are sitting here this morning? Don't raise your hand. And it ain't right. So God can change that in you. And He'll give you a heart to where you just don't want to lie. But He'll only do that. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. And people lie about God and lie about Jesus and they're lying about the Holy Spirit and they're lying about the gospel and they're lying about revival and they're lying about everything else. Somebody in this world has got to stand against this and say, we're not falling for it. Because one of the signs that we're nearing the end is a falling away. You saw it with your own eyes at Asbury University. And now it's spreading out and taking root in other places like leaven, like fungus. And because of this massive thing and all these big name ministries wanting to be part of it, wanting to be associated with it, wanting to be named with it, they're going to draw billions of people away from the true gospel. And you know what? You know what's going to happen is that's going to set all of these people, that's going to set them against us. Because it's already there. And you're going to have to decide whose side you're going to be on. Are you going to follow your family? Your family says, oh, that was real revival. Are you just going to go along to get along? Or are you going to stand on the Word of God? Anchor yourself to this Bible. I don't know how, I've read over 30 verses now. I don't know how to say it any better than that. If you want revival, you're holding it in your hand. Reading this book will bring tears to your eyes. Reading this book will give you laughter and joy. Reading this book will make you know that God knows you, He loves you, and He's called your name in spite of what you are and what you've done. Reading this book will let you know that you've been forgiven of all your sins and God is never going to bring them back on you. Reading this book will tell you the way of life. Reading this book will teach you to tell others the way of life so that they can know it too. Simply put, no revival if there's no Bible. I saw it in Kenya that the people in Kilimambogo, they didn't necessarily want me back. They just wanted more Bibles. And I'm okay with that. If I had if I won that $1 billion lottery, I'd buy Kenya, own it, and I'd buy everybody a Bible that I could. The Gideons used to be that way, and they're not anymore. They're giving out NIVs and everything else, but they quit giving out King James, and it wouldn't cost them anything. I got to quit. Whether you want to do this in your seat or you want to come down here one of these benches, you come down and revive your love and your loyalty to God's holy word. Renew the commitment that you once made to read and study and meditate on God's word. Renew whatever joy you got from reading the Bible, and the joy has been taken away. Now it's a chore to read it, but there's no joy in it. God can give you back the joy. So again, it doesn't matter to me whether you come down here or stay where you are. But I will ask you to do this. If you would like to make it known that you are going to attach yourself as much as in you possible daily to God's word, you're going to renew your commitment to God's word, you're going to stand by it forever, would you stand? Reg Kelly did that one of the first meetings I heard him preach, and I was too scared not to stand. He did. He called some guys out that they thought believed the Bible and didn't. Now I'm going to give you a few minutes. If anybody wants to come down here, pray with us. But you're going to make a commitment to God's word this morning. Would you do that? The book of Revelation says that there are souls beheaded for the word of God and their testimony. In making this commitment to attach your life and everything you are to this book, you are going to be marked for destruction. They loved not their lives even unto the death. And they were slain for the word of God. And I cannot think of a better way to die than for the word of God. Father, I come before you today. I thank you, God, that you have dealt with me and still will deal with me. I'm not done learning and reading and studying more. I'm not done. Father, I want to know more about this book than I know today. I want to live this book as best as I can each and every day. I want to do that in front of my wife. I want to do that in front of my children. I want to do that in front of my grandchildren. I want to do it before the people in this church and all those who join with us every service. Father, I want to be the man who stuck to the book. And God, I shake and tremble because I've seen so many good men fall away. And God, I don't want to do that. Don't let that happen to me. Don't let it happen to my family. Don't let it happen to this church. Father, we commit ourselves and join ourselves to the Word of God, being willing to believe it, study it, let it rule our lives, rule our thoughts, guard us against sins, cover us in mercy and forgiveness, reaching out to people as they go by us that we know they need help, offering them a cool drink of water from the Word of God. Father, we have the truth. We have the truth right here with us. Father, I ask you, God, to move in me and my family and my church and give us a revival with our Bible. Father, we join ourselves to you in this commitment. Lord, help us to carry it through because we're weak and you're not. We rely solely upon you and your grace. We ask for your blessings. We ask for your mercy. And we ask, God, that you would continue to let us be a shining light in a day full of darkness. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the Word of God. We ask it in His name, and all of God's people said, Amen.